One thing we ask of you, one thing that we desire, that as we worship you, Lord, come and change our lives. Arise, 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 take your place, be enthroned on our praise. Arise, King of kings, holy God, as we sing.
Hello and welcome to worship today. We are delighted that you can join us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in today's call to worship. In the presence of God, we find peace, wholeness, purpose. We find life. Together, we take this time to set aside the busyness of life, to sit at the feet of Jesus, to listen, to learn, to know and be known, to heal, to be made complete. We take this time to worship God, Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And as we do that, let's light the Christ candle. If you have one at home, let's do it together, remembering Jesus, the light of the world, at whose feet we sit today. Let us pray. This is the day that you have made, Lord. Help us to rejoice in it and be glad. Remind us of the privileges we enjoy as your people, to come to you in these moments, to confess our sins, to receive forgiveness and give it, to pray and sing and listen, to renew our fainting spirits, to rest in all your promises. Open our eyes to see you, Lord. Open our ears to hear your word. Visit us through your Holy Spirit and help us to celebrate our faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let us come to the time of confession, seeking God's mercy. O God, often we are quick to complain about all that we have to do and forget that we should be thankful for every opportunity to serve you. Teach us to take time to sit at your feet and learn the lessons that will enable us to do the work with grateful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, Christ has come to reconcile us to God and to reconcile us to one another. Recreated in God's image, we are being made whole. When we are in Christ, everything is becoming new, and our past is just that, our past. We are free to go forth, free to live as reconciled, renewed people. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him in her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat down at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset over all the work she had to do, so she came and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled over so many things, but just one is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken away from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today's story is an interesting one, in part because it is a story that, frankly, has always bugged me a bit. And I am fairly certain that I am not the only person who feels this way about this story. Now, before we talk about why that might be, let me just say that there is also much in this story to appreciate, especially if you happen to be a woman or to be a person who cares about women. While we actually live in a time and a place where women enjoy unprecedented rights and freedoms, we all know that for most of human history, this has not been the case. In the ancient world where Jesus lived, and when Jesus lived, women couldn't earn a living for themselves. They were forced to rely on their husband to care for and provide for them. And if they didn't have a husband or their husband had died, then they hoped that their extended family would take care of them. And if that didn't happen, they were entirely reliant on the charity of their neighbors. Societally, women's opinions didn't matter, and they certainly didn't ever expect their voices to be heard. In Jesus' day, among Jewish society, women didn't have the opportunity to be educated by a rabbi like the men and the boys did. And knowing that is important to remember as we come to today's story, because here was Jesus doing something that just wasn't done. While he and his disciples, many of whom were men, were visiting Mary and Martha, which itself would have been unusual, he apparently invited the sisters to sit and listen and learn from him. He didn't just tolerate their presence and attention, he actively encouraged it, which tells us that Jesus really was a radical who was constantly breaking down barriers and welcoming people who were accustomed to being excluded. And that's good news, right? That in itself could be a great sermon. That good news can be hard for us to keep front and center, though, because the specifics of this story can feel pretty prickly for some of us, especially those of us who might identify more with Martha than we do with her sister Mary. It seems to me that the challenge and the lesson in this story is actually found in that tension we feel that the whole episode created. Jesus and his disciples had stopped to stay with these sisters. And as happens with siblings, these two women were seemingly quite different in temperament. Martha was a doer. She was the one who would be the first person to get up and fill your cup or refill your plate. She was the one who made sure there were fresh sheets on the bed and fresh towels in the bathroom, and who kept the kettle on for when her guests arrived, just in case they arrived tired and thirsty. Despite the fame and fortune that Martha Stewart has amassed today for being an expert in these things, the Martha in our story was actually the original Martha. By what we can see here, it seems that her sister Mary was an altogether different sort. Now, we don't know a lot about Mary, but it does seem that she didn't share Martha's sense of priorities. Maybe she knew that Martha would just take care of everything, so she just let her do it. Or maybe Mary was actually okay with letting her guests fend for themselves sometimes. Being a renowned hostess was clearly not Mary's highest priority. So instead of helping her sister to serve their guests, she was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening intently to everything he had to say. Now, our gospel writer Luke probably didn't need to tell us that things were tense in the house that day. It would be pretty obvious as you imagine the scene. But he does tell us this, and he makes his own judgment about Martha in the telling when he says that she was distracted by her many tasks. Really, Luke? You couldn't have just said busy with her many tasks? You had to say distracted? Now I'm tense too. And along with me, I bet you so are all my fellow Marthas. Poor Martha was beyond frustrated with her sister for not getting up to help. But instead of discreetly pulling Mary aside and speaking to her alone, Martha decided to drag Jesus into their fight. In front of everyone there, she asked Jesus to tell Mary to get up and make herself useful. I bet you could have cut the tension in that room with a knife at that point. Now, friends, there's something we need to know about where Jesus is in situations like this. We know his promise that he's always with us. And we will often find him right in the middle of the tension we're feeling in times like this. That's usually the point in which he's inviting us to grow or do some self-reflection or deepen our faith in some way. It's actually a bit of a thing with Jesus. So with that in mind, let's pay attention to where he was and what he did in these moments. As we heard, he said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Okay, at first glance, does it not sound like Jesus was criticizing Martha and praising Mary? It sounds as if he was saying that Mary was doing the right thing and Martha was doing the wrong thing. And that's exactly why we Marthas don't really like this story. It makes us defensive. But it also doesn't seem to be very much like the Jesus we know. Jesus didn't tend to pit people against each other like that. So what was really going on here? When you come to something in the Bible that is like this, something that makes you scratch your head and wonder, either because you don't understand it or because the obvious interpretation just doesn't seem very like Jesus, it's a good idea to try to look a little deeper. Turn to the rest of the Bible. Look at the larger scriptural story. Look for other things that may shine a light on what you might be missing. Big picture, in this story, it can seem like Jesus was saying that devoting yourself to stillness and contemplation is more important than actively serving others. So we should ask ourselves, do we think that's true? Do we see Jesus teaching that in other places? Even more, do we see him exemplifying that in his own life? We don't need to look very far to answer those questions. Just last week, we heard Jesus teach about these things. You remember that in that reading, we heard an expert in Jewish religious law ask Jesus what he needed to do to experience eternal life, and Jesus told him that we can discover the life God has for us when we follow the two great commands, to love God with our whole being and to love others, our neighbors, as ourselves. So love God and love others. I may be oversimplifying things here, but that does not sound like he is saying that sitting at Jesus' feet, loving God like Mary was doing, and loving and serving others like Martha was doing, doesn't it sound like he's saying that both of those things are important and essential? In Jesus' own life, we certainly see that is true. As we read the Gospels, we get a sense of how Jesus' days tended to go. There was a rhythm that he seemed to live by. He would often get up very early and go off on his own to pray in a quiet place where he wouldn't be disturbed. Some might say he went to sit at his Father's feet, to spend time directly loving God. And then he would come back from that time and spend usually the rest of his day either ministering to people in need, teaching crowds, or training his disciples. Jesus spent much of his days giving of himself and loving other people in various ways. So he lived the way he taught us to live, by loving God and loving others every day. Well, because this is the case, it means that our sense of what he was saying to Martha must be off somehow. He must not have been saying that her efforts to love others were wrong, and that sitting at his feet, like Mary was doing, is what we should all be doing all the time. He can't be saying that. So let's go back to what Jesus said to Martha and to the point that really seems to create the tension. Once again, he said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." Those words, worried and distracted, they clearly say that Martha was not in a good place. Jesus could see that all of those tasks that she was so busy doing, trying to care for her guests, they were distracting her, so that she couldn't even see the essential thing being modeled right before her eyes. It wasn't that the way Martha was loving others wasn't important. It's just that it wasn't the only thing that was important. Jesus could see that she had lost sight of the importance of the other vital thing in life, loving God, the very thing Mary was immersed in that day. Friends, Jesus calls us to live the way he lived, to ensure that there is time and space in each of our lives for both loving God and loving others. This isn't a complicated lesson to understand, but in my own experience, it can sure be a hard one to consistently remember to live out every day. And it is a vital lesson, especially for congregations like St. Stephen's. One of the five core values that we have identified as a congregation is loving our neighbors as ourselves. And boy, do I see you living that out. St. Stephen's is a community that serves others both within our doors and beyond. And that is absolutely wonderful. It's part of why our neighbors appreciate us. And it is a value that is absolutely critical to remember as you continue to move forward in the coming months and years. But the only way you will be able to sustain that service is if you also remember the lesson Jesus teaches here, that there must be a rhythm to our lives like he had. Yes, we love and serve others, but we also love God. As Jesus warned Martha that day, we can't let ourselves get distracted by our service and neglect that other part of our lives. If we do, we won't be able to sustain our efforts to love others. They'll lose the vibrancy and the life they hold, both for those we serve and for us. They become duty rather than love. And when that happens, I dare say that the life just kind of seeps out of them. So friends, remember what Jesus told the religious expert last week, that the sure way to live the life God has for us, eternal life now, is to be both a Mary and a Martha. Make sure there is time and space in your day to love God. And if there isn't, then make some changes to create that time and space. Because if Jesus needed time in prayer alone with God each day in order to sustain his ministry, I'm feeling pretty sure that we need it too. Amen.
is all for Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. As we gather our thoughts and our hearts in prayer, we ask God that you will fill our hearts with your love and hope, peace and joy in this time of great uncertainty and great opportunity. Let us pray. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us as we raise up to you the prayers of our hearts and souls for hope, peace, and joy, as well as for healing and forgiveness, for understanding and for love. Most amazing God, as we gather here this morning, we give thanks for the many gifts and blessings that you have shared with us. We ask that you help each of us to be as excited about hearing your voice and message as those who heard your story spoken in their own languages in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. Speak to us in ways that we can hear, so that we can be in communion with you and live as Jesus taught us to do. Lord, we pray for all of your children here in Oceanside and those spread out around the world. As we gather to worship, we pray that you remind all of your children that Jesus challenged us to bear his cross of nonviolence, truth, love, and humility. God, we pray that you enter the souls of those who rise up against your loved ones, children, elderly, sick, and on people that they never will know. We pray that you open their eyes and their ears to hear Jesus' message of love your neighbor as yourself and to love as Jesus loves, so that through this knowledge they will want to bring peace to your people and to the world. Lord, teach each of us to forgive as Jesus taught us to, but in doing so, to reach out to those who we are forgiving, offering them your hope and our love so that they might be free. Most generous God, we raise up to you all of those who are hungry, living in poverty, in prison, or in poor health because of droughts, wars, or selfishness, or simply age. We pray that you will help them to find sustenance for their bodies and peace for their minds as you share your grace with them. God, we have many in our own community who are struggling with health issues themselves or with friends and family members. We ask that you bring healing and comfort to all of those who are suffering as a result of these issues. We also raise up to all of the caregivers around the world and here in Oceanside, including our own pastoral care team, who work tirelessly to make people feel welcome and safe and loved. We pray that you share your grace-filled hope and love with each and every one of them, that they might feel your presence and gain the strength to carry on. God of creation, we give you thanks for allowing us to share in your beauty here where we live. We know that all of your creation is precious to you, and at the same time, we know that we have not been kind to your world and in many ways have vandalized the beauty that you have given us to enjoy and care for. We pray that you empower everyone around the world to take the steps that are required to enable your garden to flourish so that we can once again walk in your paths as you would have always wanted. Lord, you are our great leader, and you possess all knowledge of what has been and what is to come. We pray that you faithfully share that knowledge with all of those in leadership positions around the world so that they might bring forward actions that can heal all wounds, rebuild our connection to you, that once again will bring the promise of Jesus Christ's hope so that all might be as one with you. Lord, we ask special prayers for those in senior leadership positions around the world who are constantly making difficult and important decisions that will affect your people and ministry here in Oceanside. Keep them focused on your love. We specifically ask that you be present with our search team and the board members here at St. Stephen's as they search for the faith leadership that you would have lead us as we grow your ministry here at St. Stephen's going forward. At the same time, we ask that you wrap Diane in your grace and love as she prepares to step back from her role as our pastor to a new life and new ways of serving you. As we finish our prayers, let us pray as Jesus taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, we are grateful for all the ways that you give to the work of Jesus Christ through this congregation. Whether you give of time, talent, or treasure, we are grateful for it all. Would you pray with me the prayer over all the gifts given this week? Eternal God, the needs of your children overwhelm us, but we bring these gifts, trusting in your power to multiply them and direct their use where they can accomplish much to relieve the suffering and pain of those in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, go out into the world to serve God with love. Be ready to laugh with delight at the good news God has to offer you. Make room at your table for unexpected guests. And when the work of discipleship leaves you feeling weary or frustrated, rest in Christ's presence and listen to what he is saying. Friends, as you go, may the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.
Jesus, name.